Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. Our readings from the sacred scripture are from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, Psalm 107, verses 14 through 21, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel according to John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Today's message is titled, It is the gift of God. Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. This is what is written. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? To die in the desert. There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can take a look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, he lived. Here ends the reading from Numbers chapter 21, Psalm 107, beginning at verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Here ends our reading from Psalm 107. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here ends our reading from Ephesians chapter 2, the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. We are jumping into a conversation Jesus is having with Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came in the middle of the night to speak with Jesus. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth, by the truth, comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to John. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Prayer from the Gelasium Sacramentary. My birthday was coming, and there was only one present I really, really wanted. It'd be my 10th birthday. We had just moved back up to Bowie, Maryland from Norfolk, Virginia. I'd be starting fourth grade at Fox Hill Elementary, another new school, and having to make new friends once again. However, it's easier this time. For we'd be back to Grace Lutheran and all our friends there from before going down to Norfolk for 6 months. Before Norfolk, we were in the B section of Bowie on Bird's Eye Lane, attending Buckingham Elementary School. Now for fourth grade, living in the K section on Kennison Lane, but not going to Kenilworth, but to Fox Hill. Both Kenilworth and Fox Hill were about the same distance walk from home. My 10th birthday was coming, and along with G.I. Joe gear, and which is now is referred to as the vintage G.I. Joe, these days, it's the 12-inch action figure. I really, really, really wanted a cassette tape player recorder of my own. I wanted to record my own stuff on it. Many may be able to recall those rectangular boxes with buttons for play, fast forward, rewind, pause, and record. Just had to have one to be able to listen to my own music. As I opened my presents, there was a small box wrapped in paper. I tore off the paper and opened the box, and in the box was a wad of cash. I mean, a whole lot of $1 bills. I unrolled the wad and started the count, and as the number got higher and higher, now remember then, a dollar could buy a lot of candy. Gas was about 39 cents a gallon. 10, 11, 12, 13. There's still more dollar bills to unroll from this wad, from this bundle. 18. I've never had that much money at one time. And still, it was more to unroll. 22, 23, 24. $25. The most money I had at one time in all of my life. The best birthday gift ever, I thought. I can go buy my own cassette tape recorder player now. I mean, that's the best gift, or so I thought. My mom and dad were smiling all through this whole episode of unwinding and counting and all that. And then they reminded me. I had asked them to help me save my allowance that I had earned to buy a cassette recorder player. I'd asked them that this $25 was actually my allowance saved up. Now I could go and buy that plastic black cassette player recorder. What's odd is I don't remember any of the gifts I got that birthday, the 10th birthday, off the top of my head. But I do remember unrolling that wad of ones. I remember I took it with me then the following summer, traveling to our relatives in Minnesota and Iowa. At my cousin's in Edina, Minnesota, we'd get the cassette recorder ready, all ready to record, holding that pause button down. Okay, just need to release the pause to record. Okay, start the record player. I release the pause. You lean the record the microphone of the cassette recorder towards the speaker of the record player to record the record. Did any of you do that when you were growing up, to try to get from a record to a cassette? You just had to record it on the cassette player? Well, we did that. Song after song. Shh, be quiet. Don't make noise. We would record. How about this one? Paul Revere and the Raiders, Cherokee People. I mean, or how about Paper Lace? The Night Chicago Died. Carpenters, Top of the World. That's just name of the few that we recorded. I mean, all of these songs, I would have my own cassette tape mix of all my favorites. I thought the money was a gift, but it was my allowance that I had earned. It felt like a gift the way I unwrapped it, but it wasn't a gift. I had actually earned it. This confusion between gift, a true gift, and earning. I mean, that confusion is really hard to break. I earned it. I deserve it. What is a gift? Really, what is a gift that is truly given? Can we in our human abilities really fathom the wonder of a free gift offered by the giver to us? A free gift offered by the giver. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now going down to verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, gift, doron. That's the Greek word, doron, a gift, a presence. It's derived from didomai. Didomai means to give. This Greek word, doron, focuses though. It focuses on the free nature of the gift. Doron truly is a free gift. It's a free gift. It's not coerced in giving in any manner. It's more towards that spontaneous, I want to give you this free gift. A gift given because the giver freely and truly desires to give. Doron, a gift, not coerced. Because the giver really wants to freely give you this gift. Doron. It is the gift of God. The first part of verse 9 from the Greek word order, not as a result of works. Ergon is a work. It's task, employment, action. So we're emphasizing the free nature of the gift. The Holy Spirit through Paul writes, not a result of work. In other words, not as something owed as it had been earned. A free gift is not owed you. You can't earn a free gift. The giver truly desires to freely give you the doron. What is this doron? The gift of salvation. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. A gift freely offered in Christ Jesus. The world says the claims of Christ, they're too narrow-minded, too exclusionary. Nay, that's not true at all. If you really come to know and understand the nature of this free gift in Christ, this salvation is freely offered to everyone, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, free, slave. This free gift is truly freely offered to all people. This is the most inclusive offer ever made. It's offered to everyone. This gift of salvation is freely offered to everyone. And more than that, it's freely offered to sinners. Well, that includes everyone. But it's offered to sinners, which includes all humanity. It's written in Romans 3. All have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. We all have. Romans 3, starting at verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Consider how great this gift truly is. What was your condition when this gift was freely given you? What was my condition when the gift was freely given? I mean, before the gift, this is how we are described. Dead in transgressions and sin. Dead, the Greek word is nekros. It means dead, lifeless, mortal, subject to death. It literally means that which lacks life. That is you. That is me. Because of the fall, our existence lacks life. Dead in trespasses, peritoma. Peritoma, properly it means falling away from after being close beside. In creation, we are close beside God. God walked with Adam and Eve. But then Adam and Eve, the fall came, sin came, and they were cast out. They could not longer be close beside. So peritoma properly means fall away from after being close beside. Dead in sin, harmatia. It means missing the mark, with the emphasis on self-originated sin. Sin that comes from within. I mean, as Jesus was with His disciples, they had just come from the marketplace. They had not ceremonially washed their hands after being in the marketplace. Pharisees came and complained to Jesus. And this is what's written in Matthew 15. Jesus answers the Pharisees' complaint. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Sinner, apart from God, that was our condition. This is the condition of all who have not opened the gift which is freely offered in Christ. We have a heart that is bringing forth evil. And we read of these things in the news headlines. I mean, have you read the news headlines and go, how could someone do that? How could someone do such a thing? Evil in the heart has now come out, and now is evil in action. The evil one seeks to kill and destroy. We see the evidence of evil. How could someone do that? The evil one seeks to kill and destroy. How else to explain the history? It's recorded in Numbers chapter 21. After all the Lord God had done for Israel, delivered them, daily provided for them, clothes not wearing out, sandals not wearing out. Yeah, that's true. It's written Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. God was doing these wonders daily, moment by moment, experiencing, as we would term it, supernatural provision. I mean, manna from heaven, quail for meat, water, even from rocks. And what did the people do? Numbers 21, beginning of verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." We detest this miserable food. Did you really hear that? That miracle of morning after morning, the manna? We detest this miserable food, which was the provision of God. God, you delivered us from the plenty of Egypt to die in the desert. Why? Why did you take us from the comfort and splendor of Egypt to die in the desert? I mean, that's sort of the feelings behind their expression. Why did you take us from Egypt? In the Hebrew, verse 4, Numbers 21, the meaning is more in this direction. The people became very discouraged of soul. From the discouraged of soul came the words of complaint and despair, that why, along with the forgetfulness of the goodness of the Lord, expressed daily in that supernatural provision. Natural for God to do, but from our perspective, supernatural. I am a person wired such that I can eat the same thing over and over and over for breakfast, and I can do it over and over without complaint. I mean, this, you'll find this funny probably. There's a time, and for a time, and I mean for several years, I don't know, 10, 15 years, I don't know, you can ask my wife, she probably knows the answer better than I, but I ate for breakfast Fruity Pebbles. Fruity Pebbles, I mean, years on end, that was my breakfast. I don't need variety. I don't crave variety. But year after year of manna in the wilderness, and now the people are despairing. Are we ever going to get to the promised land? The bigger picture is God was building a nation in the wilderness, a nation that was to live in the faith in the one true God. Along the ways, the people are grumbling and stumbling against God and against Moses. And so God sent serpents. God sent the snakes to turn the hearts of the people. In reality, it's a faith lesson. But even more than that, we'll see that in a moment. Through the snake bites, the serpent bites, the people were dying. And as a result, the Israelites came to recognize they had sinned. Would seem that up to this moment, God had been protecting them from the wild creatures of the wilderness. Now the protection was removed, death came into the camps, and the people noticed and recognized their words against Moses and God. It was sin. And they repented. Numbers 21, verse 7. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord would take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The answer from God to Moses' prayer was, "Make a serpent out of bronze. Make a snake out of bronze. Put it on a pole and set it up high so that anyone bitten can look to the serpent on the pole and live." Make us, what, no poultice? No anti-venom concoction? None of that. The breaking of the faith brought about the problem. The answer to the problem would be one that relies and depends on faith. Listen to the instructions God gave, as Moses said. Bitten, look and live. That's a short way to say it. Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now, little did they know, when that actual history moment was happening in the wilderness, was a huge. Can't overemphasize how huge a foreshadow it was of events to come. Nicodemus, an old Pharisee, came sneaking in the dark of night to talk with Jesus. Jesus spoke of being born again. Nicodemus goes, how can an old man be born again? Do I enter into my mother's womb a second time to be born? No, born of the Spirit. You must be born. How can this be, Nicodemus? And then Jesus answers, John chapter 3, beginning verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Numbers chapter 21, that historical event in the wilderness of Israel, the Israelites' wanderings, it points to what will truly save. Not like the bronze snake in the wilderness in number 21 that saved a mortal life. No, this Son of Man lifted up will give eternal life. Even with all the grumbling and falling short of Israel in the wilderness, God was working his goodwill to one day bring forth the Son. Through Israel's sin and rebellion in the wilderness, God gave this testimony on how to recognize the Son of God. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Greek word order in English of the last half of John 3, verse 14 is this. Thus, to be lifted up, it behooves the Son of Man. Yes, in that Greek, you find the word day. Day is translated as behooves. Day. You find that word day, and the meaning is it is necessary, absolutely necessary. There is no other way. This is the only way. Just as no other way, no other means of healing for those bitten by the venomous serpents in the wilderness is written in Numbers 21. Bitten, look up and live. Look to that bronze serpent, that bronze snake on the pole. Look to it. You're bitten. You're dying. Look to that and you'll live. Even as that took place, there's no other way for forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to God, that's salvation, than through the Son of Man being lifted up. That is to be crucified and die on the cross. And as it turns out, it's expressed in these words here of the gospel and also in the letters of Paul. As it turns out, this is the greatest expression of love ever given. Christ on the cross for my sin. Christ on the cross for your sin. Christ on the cross for all humanity. Through all time, sin. Salvation and reconciliation through the forgiveness of sins. A Savior is given from the love God has for us. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, most know these words better, the King James translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God gave his one and only unique Son to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Thus, what God did in this giving is provided as a gift. Hence, it is the gift of God. This salvation and the means of salvation came because God truly, greatly loves us. For God is rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 begins clearly laying out the reality. Though we were sinners, children by nature, all these things of this world and children of that spirit of disobedience, though that is what we are, taking into account all of that which we are, which God's wrath rightly so stands and always has been against, that God's long-held indignation against sin, that wrath, that indignation against sin, though that is what we are, God did not treat us in that manner. Ephesians 2, verse 4 begins, but God. That word, but, it cuts off what was before this, so that we know what is to come as God acts. But God, rich being in mercy, because of great love of him with which he loved us, this is the English from the Greek word order, but God, rich being in mercy, because of the great love of him with which he loved us, even being we dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. Though we are dead in trespasses, the rich mercy, the great love he loves us with, we are made alive in Christ. And then going from verse 8 into verse 9, For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. From dead in transgressions and sins to alive in Christ. It is by grace you are saved through faith. The gift of God. The gift of God. By grace, that is the kindness and favor of God, you are saved. You are delivered from the penalty and power of sin and death through the instrumentality of faith. That's the meaning of the Greek. So it's by grace, that's the kindness and favor of God, you are saved, that is delivered from the penalty and power of sin and death through the instrumentality of faith. And this faith is always a gift from God. For this faith is God's divine persuasion. From Luther's introduction to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, written in Luther's German Bible of 1522. Instead, faith is God's work in us that changes us and gives us new birth from God. That's John 1, verse 13. It kills the old Adam and makes us completely different people. It changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our powers. It brings the Holy Spirit with us. Yes, it is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, this faith. And a little farther, another paragraph down. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone. Serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. The begotten, the only unique one, the Son of God, through the mystery of the incarnation, became human, fully human as a man, came to be lifted up and crucified on the cross and die for us. Came to do this while humanity was lost in transgressions and sins. Jesus the Christ came to show us the greatness of God's love and deep desire to save. Through Jesus the Christ, death on the cross, the work of salvation was fulfilled in full, with nothing more to be done. The work of Christ on the cross is a finished work. So there's no work for you to do, as salvation in Christ is a gift. As it turned out, I had worked that for that wad of cash for that cassette player recorder. And as it turns out, many feel they have to work for salvation. I ask you this very potent question. What can you do? What can you do that surpasses what Christ has done for you? You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And by God's grace, that gift, you are now alive in Christ. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. You have been made alive in Christ. It is the gift of God. Amen and amen.